This evening we're going back to the book of Acts, and now we are in chapter number 28. Acts chapter 28. We've been looking on Wednesday night at Paul's final journey to Rome. And tonight we're going to look at the end of Paul's journey, this last lesson from this wonderful chapter. Acts chapter 28. Now you remember the boat was basically shipwrecked on the island of Malta. They escaped, those who couldn't swim, on boards and things that could float. Others could swim to land. And then on Sunday night we saw the Apostle Paul ministering in Malta, and the Lord certainly blessed him as he continued to serve the Lord in a difficult situation. Now tonight we're looking at verses 11 to 14 to begin with. So please look with me there. Acts chapter 28, verse 11 says, "And after 3 months on the island, we departed in a ship of Alexandria, which had wintered in the isle, whose sign was Castor and Pollux. And landing at Syracuse, we tarried there 3 days. And from thence we fetched a compass and came to Rhegium. And after 1 day, the south wind blew, and we came next day to Puteoli, where we found brethren, and we desired to tarry with them 7 days. And so we went toward Rome. And from thence, when the brethren heard of us, they came to meet us as far as Apiforum and the three taverns, whom when Paul saw, he thanked God and took courage." Well, we'll look at these verses and more as we open God's word. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this very exciting and amazing journey that you have seen fit, Lord, by divine power and wisdom to include in your word. Lord, help us to learn some special lessons that the Holy Spirit of God will apply to our lives tonight, as only you know how, as we need this evening. Father, may you be glorified, and may you strengthen our hearts tonight as we look to you by faith in your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, the Bible tells us that the winter storms had finally passed. The prisoners, Paul, the soldiers, had spent 3 months on the island, and now it was moving into springtime, and they set sail for Rome. The Bible tells us where they went. They sailed north to the ports of Syracuse, to a port on the island of Sicily, at the tip of Italy. If you know a little bit about geography, you know that little that part that looks like a soccer ball, the end of the boot of Italy. And they came up, working their way up to Puteoli, the port of Naples, and they're headed towards Rome. And we see some wonderful, encouraging verses here, first of all, about the fellowship that Paul enjoyed along the way. Do you remember how he began? How Paul first left? He had some companions on the journey, Luke and Aristarchus with him, and then they stopped in not long after they left the port of Caesarea, and they met some more brethren, which encouraged them as they began their journey, and now they met some more brethren at the end of their journey. So three places along the way to Rome, there were Christians that met them and encouraged them. So as they travelled along the road, notice verse 15, "And from thence, when the brethren heard of us, they came to meet us as far as Apiforum." So there were three places along the way that the brethren came. The Appian Way was the main highway that led to Rome. It was a very famous road, and it was a paved road. As you know, the Roman Empire was famous for creating a complex and modern Rome system, and it led straight to Rome. So these believers travelled on that Rome to meet the Apostle Paul, 200 kilometres away from Rome. Some believers met them 70 kilometres away and 16 kilometres away. So along the journey, the Apostle Paul and Luke and Aristarchus had the blessing of Christian fellowship. And there was a third group that met them at the three taverns. That was a wayside area along the road. And they gave them an official escort into the city. So it's amazing to see how Paul was a prisoner. Luke and Aristarchus surrendered themselves to be bond servants, sold into to slavery, if you will, in a way, as prisoners. And the Bible tells us whom, when Paul saw, he thanked God and took courage. That means the Apostle Paul was encouraged. Encouraged. Now, sometimes we think of the Apostle Paul as some spiritual giant whom no man could touch, because he wrote the book of Ephesians, which speak about the armor of God, and he must be fully armored all the time without any weaknesses. But that's not true. The Lord knew that he needed encouragement by friends, by brethren in the Lord. He knew that Aristarchus and the Lord knew that Luke needed encouragement, and they took courage. That means that the fellowship blessed them in such a way that they took that courage with them to Rome. As you can imagine, Rome is set on seven hills, and that Appian Way leading to Rome, it was unlike anything they had ever seen before. They were looking upon, you know, the Colosseum, the entry to the city, magnificent buildings and architecture that they'd never seen before. Remember, Rome was the greatest city in the world. And as you can imagine, how fearful they could have been to know that this is where they're going with the gospel as prisoners. What will befall them there? And they've just come through the storm and they needed some encouragement. And the Lord reminds us once again tonight that we need fellowship. Fellowship is important for every believer. If Paul needed fellowship, we do too. And Paul needed encouragement, especially in a time of trial. You know, when we go through trials, the easiest thing to do is to hide. Isn't it true? I shared the illustration about the hermit crab, you know, on the beach. And our kids like to chase things like that, hermit crabs. They crawl along the sand, and as soon as they know they're in trouble, what do? They hide away. They hide in their shell. And that's the natural thing that we do when we go through trials. And God is reminding us tonight that we need to not be hermit crab Christians, to be willing to enjoy the fellowship God puts in our lives. People that will pray for us if they know our needs. How can they pray if we don't share those needs? And so we need to open up to a measure and come out of our shell and be willing to say, you know, I'm struggling. I need prayer, or to enjoy the fellowship, to be in the places of fellowship. If God brings people our way, like they did to the Apostle Paul, we need to enjoy that time. And there will be seasons of time that the Lord will allow, seasons of time in His wisdom, where we just need to be with the brethren. We need to have fellowship. Obviously, those times are when the doors are open for church. Amen. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 says, "And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works." And then verse 25, of course, says, "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." Amen. As you see the day approaching, God's people need fellowship, need time together. Romans chapter 1, verse 12 says, "That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me." And what Paul was asking for was for prayer. He was asking for prayer. And I'm reminded, as we pray together, prayer is a time of fellowship. Though we may not be talking about, you know, how our families are going or personal issues, sometimes we pray together about them in our prayer groups as the Lord leads. And prayer is a time of fellowship. Let me encourage you, perhaps, to encourage someone to come to the prayer meeting and say, "Hey, why don't you come to the prayer meeting?" Or missed your last Wednesday. You who sit on the, you know, right hand side of the church. Amen. We missed you on Wednesday. Lachlan was lonely on Wednesday. You know, encourage the brethren to say, "Hey, missed you on Wednesday. You know, let's come back on Wednesday and we can fellowship as we pray." And encourage one another in prayer. Paul mentioned that. And I trust that you were encouraged. I know that I was, to pray together. That's all right. Listen to me. To encourage one another. Now, there's one thing that is true. We need to remember there's the right kind of fellowship and there's the wrong kind of fellowship. Now, there was a limited kind of fellowship, would you agree, that Paul could have with the centurion, the captain, or the other soldiers, the prisoners as well. That was limited. Now, Paul was witnessing to them, but it was limited because they're not saved. They're lost. And God says, look, you can have people you're witnessing to, that you're friendly to, but then there should be others that are your close friends. And they can only be Christians, for how can two walk together except they be agreed? And those are the relationships we need to work on as Christians, getting to know one another, spending time with the brethren. And if you share your burdens with the world, well, the Lord says you are not of the world. The world will hate you because it hated Christ. So don't be surprised when the world turns on you and you don't find comfort in the friendships of those who are not saved. Those ones we need to witness to. Need to be good testimony before. But Christian fellowship is necessary. Amen? And especially in the work of the gospel. The Apostle Paul says, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Not lone strangers going all in different directions, but striving together. And that includes fellowship. All right, well, we've seen the fellowship of the gospel. Notice the freedom of the gospel in verse 16. Acts chapter 28 and verse 16. And when we came to Rome, the centurion delivered the prisoners to the captain of the guard. Well, his job was finished. I'm sure the centurion was greatly relieved. They had brought all the prisoners alive. They'd done their job. Centurion wasn't going to lose his life. And, you know, what would happen to the Apostle Paul now? This is the end. But, verse 16 says, but Paul was suffered or allowed to dwell by himself with a soldier that kept him. Notice the centurion gave Paul special treatment. He was allowed to stay alone in a place that was more comfortable than with the rest of the prisoners. He was treated with favor. And the captain of the guard, he was delivered to the captain of the guard. He was, in fact, the Bible goes on to tell us, allowed to not just to be kept in a cell, but in a rented home. He was kept in a rented home by himself with another soldier guarding him. He wasn't chained hand and foot to that soldier. He had a measure of freedom to be in a rented home as a prisoner. Notice verse 17. And it came to pass that after 3 days, Paul called the chief of the Jews together when they were come together. He said unto them, men and brethren, though I have committed nothing against the people or customs of our fathers, yet was I delivered prisoner from Jerusalem into the hands of the Romans. So there in that hired house, Paul had absolute, complete freedom to speak to whoever he wanted to. Though he was a prisoner, waiting to appeal to Caesar, God suddenly opened the floodgates of blessing. Can you see how God had already worked and planned from the beginning how to get the Apostle Paul to Rome? And not to just get him there, would have been just as easy to get him there from Greece when he was in Athens, when he was in Corinth, geographically. What would we have done? We would have just hopped in a ferry across the Adriatic Sea and we would have gone to Rome. Well, it was shorter that way. But God led the Apostle Paul this way, back to Jerusalem, where he thought he was going to die. And he didn't. God revealed to him, it's my will for you to get to Rome. And God led him as a prisoner in a ship that almost sank in the Mediterranean. And now here he is in Rome. And the Lord reveals the plan, the big picture. There he is now, under the protection of a Roman soldier, where the Jews couldn't attack him. There were so many benefits, and he could now witness to the Jews. Now, the Jews in these verses go on to tell him that they had not heard of anything in Jerusalem or anything from Jerusalem. They didn't know what had happened to Paul. And Paul goes on to tell them that that he has come to speak to them. And notice verse number 23. And when they had appointed him a day, there came many to him into his lodging, to whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets, from morning till evening.
So from morning till evening, there was the Apostle Paul reaching out to the Jews first. Remember, to the Jews first and then the Gentiles. So there was the Apostle Paul having a ball, I'm sure. Enjoying the ministry. Rejoicing that God had led him through this time of trial and to bring him to a place where he could be a wonderful witness. Imagine what a blessing it would have been to sit and listen to the Apostle Paul preaching from morning till night, from all the law and the prophets declaring Christ. Well, how did they respond? Notice verse 24. What does it say? And some believed the things which were spoken, and some believed not. So let me be encouraged. Let me encourage you, Christians, soul winners, that if this was the outcome to the preaching of the Apostle Paul, it's the same with us. As we witness, some will believe and some won't. Some will hear, some will slam doors. Some won't want to listen, some will want to hear some more. And that's just the reality of the Christian life. And the Apostle Paul had freedom to preach the gospel. And let's take advantage as Christians of the freedoms that we have. Amen. The open doors. Thank the Lord we're not in prison. Thank the Lord we're not hiding underground. Thank the Lord we have absolute freedom in this nation at this stage to witness to whoever we would like to. But don't miss how God was uniquely working in this situation. The freedom of the gospel, and notice the furtherance of the gospel. Here in the Bible, Acts chapter 28, verses 30 to 31. For the sake of time, we won't be able to study all these verses out, but Paul essentially uses an Old Testament scripture from the book of Isaiah to rebuke the Jews for being hard of hearing and having closed their eyes. And he says to them in verse 28 that he's going to preach the gospel to the Gentiles and they will hear it. Verse 30 to 31 says, and Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house and received all that came in unto him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no man forbidding him. What a wonderful end to Paul's final journey to Rome. God had finally granted the desire of Paul's heart. For 2 whole years, he was living in his own hired house with a soldier to protect him. And the house was not shut up. It was open. It was an open house to all who would be willing to come, to listen, to brethren, to Jews, to Gentiles. And Paul was not denied wonderful opportunities. Have a look in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 12 as we close. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 12. Of course, the epistles that Paul wrote tell us some more about what was going on. The book of Acts ends here, but remember, Philippians, Ephesians, Colossians and Philemon, these books were meant to have been written right here, where Paul was in Rome, in this place. So the book of Philippians was written from Rome. Philippians chapter 1 and verses 12 and 13. The Apostle Paul says, but I would that ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the, what's the next word?
Palace.
And in all other places. So, when finally Paul was nearing the end of his life, he was not just in his own hired house, he was a prisoner, and the Bible tells us that he had now been limited in his abilities and his freedom to witness, but in his bonds, he was able to take the gospel into the palace. He was able to witness to the servants of Caesar and people in high rank within Caesar's own palace. So the Lord had planted him right there in this opportune place. And this he did with all confidence, no man forbidding him. And as we understand God's plan for the gospel, and that is a plan for the world, we need to trust the Lord to work in our lives, to work according to his will and plan. Paul would not have planned this journey by himself. In fact, people were telling him, don't go to Jerusalem, you're going to die. You know, and he said, I've got to go. And he did. But eventually that trip got him to Rome. And off he went. And the Lord certainly blessed for the furtherance of the gospel. And in Paul's last day, he was still busy in the master's work. So as we consider the Lord's work in our lives, may we continue to serve the Lord like the Apostle Paul, through trials, through testings, through opportunities, continue to witness, continue to preach the gospel, continue to trust that the Lord is in control, and to enjoy the fellowship that he gives us. Amen. The fellowship is the glue that binds the church together. Amen. Between the brethren. It's important. And let me encourage you to encourage others in these matters as well.